for another episode with the Uptime Punks, and I got Andy Davis back. And Andy is disrupting the space. That's something we spoke about last time, how we can make a lot of noise. And well, everybody has the knowledge of the Fight Club, but let's get some knowledge on the Data Center Club. Hi, Andy. How are you? You all right?
Good morning. Ready to talk Fight Club / Data Center Club, as it's now known, being rebranded. No Brad Pitt, unfortunately. You have to put up with me.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I mean, I think almost every child in the world knows that movie, yeah. And I thought it was quite, I wouldn't say cheeky, but I think it's quite inspirational how you went in there and said, you know what, now we've got a data center club. And the data center club has rules as well. So I don't know if we should start with the rules or we should start with what madness got you into the inspiration of starting a data center club. So tell me, what is the data center club all about? How did you actually come up with it? Because I remember when we first spoke, you said you heard a song in the car.
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways my brain works in strange ways sometimes, but how I got to Data Center Club. So there was the inspiration behind the fact that Fight Club is nobody talks about Fight Club. And obviously there's a lot of irony within that statement around data centers and how everybody says, you know, we need to attract more people to the sector. We need to tell everyone about it, but then nobody tells anyone about it. So kind of there was that element of it, like, you know, nobody talks about it. Yeah. It's a bit like Fight Club. And then I was driving home from work one day and a song came on. I can't even remember the song or anything, but it was called DCC. And it just, the acronym basically triggered Data Center Club in my head. And then putting the two together created Data Center Club. And I guess the inspiration, in short, behind the whole thing was I wanted to start a community for a while. And I don't know why I wasn't doing it, to be honest. It's one of those things I wanted to do, but just probably put off a bit too long. And then I just thought, let's just launch it and let's see where it goes. And there's obviously ideas behind where we want it to go, but let's get the people together and then let's create a movement and see where we end up.
Yeah, I think it's quite good that you're doing it, because last time, you both spoke on a podcast, we spoke about how the community has just been opened. And how everybody's like, oh, nobody wants to come into our industry, and everything is sort of closed doors. And there you go. Month and a half later, you're starting this club to basically open up the doors. And would be really interesting to see where this is going to go, because from my understanding, it's open to everyone. Anyone can join, or do you have any like restrictions on it, or?
No, there's rules around it, as we'll go into soon, but no real restrictions. The idea is that it is a community for everybody, and then within that we can probably create multiple smaller communities that would help each other. But yeah, no, the idea behind it is that it's a platform or a community where people can ask for help, people can support each other, people can collaborate, we can all develop, etc. So if you're going to create a community like that, then you can't really put restrictions on who joins. It's the challenge will be, as it grows, the scale of it and how we can maintain a community feel. But with, you know, we're already at 1,000 members or over 1,000 members today, and it's only been open, I think, 2 weeks maybe. But we're going to scale it quite quickly, I think, just out of people wanting it. So then we're going to have to look at it and think, right, okay, how do we create micro communities within this big community so everyone's still getting the value? I think that'll be the challenge long term.
Yeah, I think it's quite nice, because like you're saying, micro communities, because sort of everybody has a different aspect when they come into the data center realm, I would say, because people look at different things. You will have the operators. Obviously, you will have the vendors, then you will have also the thought leadership behind it, people who want to maybe implement more of sustainability, more of diversity, creating a platform for young talent to be involved as well. So it's like, really, it's an endless thing. So what are the rules of the Data Center Club?
Well, the first rule of the Data Center Club is you have to tell everyone about Data Center Club. So again, that rule comes from, you know, I just find it hilarious the amount of conversations I have about with people saying that, you know, we need to attract more people, but then they don't really talk about what they do. So that was the first rule, you know, tell everyone about the club. Let's create a bit of momentum behind it, get everybody involved. And obviously once we, you know, when we've got community, I know we can really do whatever we want. So the first rule is just tell everyone about it and invite everybody to join. You know, let's really push it and get as many people involved as we can.
And what is the second rule of the data center club?
The second rule of the data center club is you must be open to collaborate, because another element that I find, I guess, amusing in the sector is that, you know, when I interview people, we're in that privileged position like you are, where we get to speak to so many people in the sector. They all say, oh, you know, we need to collaborate to solve this challenge. We need to collaborate to solve that. And we can't do that without collaboration. But then there is no collaboration, or there's limited collaboration. So I only really want people, and I think the majority of people are, but we only really want people in the club that will collaborate and will help each other, because we don't want that. We want to kind of remove the barriers and not have that competition. So you've got to be open to collaborate with others to basically help each other and develop. And you don't have to collaborate with everybody, but you've got to be open to the idea.
So basically it's quite similar to like the open source community, right? Where you basically share knowledge and try to achieve, well, goals together.
Exactly. Yeah, and people have come in and asked already, you know, people have asking questions about, you know, how can I obtain these qualifications, or where can I find this type of information? And people are sharing it. And again, it's like a lot of the information is out there, but people ask me for information on, I don't know, do you know who's building this data center, or do you know what's happening in this territory? And the information is out there. It's active, it's live, you know, it's visible, but people don't share it. So it's more, if you really want something and you need something to help you develop, ask a question and someone will find it for you. And that in itself will create a lot of change, because the secrecy behind a lot of the information will be taken away. Obviously, elements of it we can't share, and we know that, and nobody can share that anyway because it's not public. But anything that's public, you know, let's share it.
Yeah, that's well, it's all what a community is about, isn't it? Because otherwise it just gets very vendor heavy, and vendors just want to speak to operators, and then sort of you're back into private meeting rooms and nobody actually knows what's going on. That's sort of what
exactly.
Kind of, yeah.
And that comes on to rule number three, which is you must not advertise your product or services. Because another point of, you know, the community is that it's not a platform for people to, you know, gain, really. It's a platform to create that community, hopefully as a byproduct. You know, you'll meet people and you will develop relationships that will help you. Yeah, if you're a vendor, it will help you, you know, make deals. If you're a, I don't know, an operator, it might introduce you to a good consultant or whatever it might be. But I don't want anybody coming on there and saying, you know, do you want this UPS kit, or, you know, do you want to meet with me next week? I'm in London, and, you know, I'd love to show you our new technology. That I'm not interested in that, because again, it takes away the community element of it. And I think one of the frustrations people have with platforms like LinkedIn and the like is that it becomes too advertising. And if you look at some of the other groups that are out there on LinkedIn and other platforms, there's no activity in them anymore, because all it is just advert after advert after advert after advert.
Well, that's quite true, because I mean, me coming myself from the event space, I mean, there's a lot of, yeah, like you said, communities. We don't need to name people or communities, whatever it is, but it becomes quite vendor heavy, and they obviously charge fees for the vendors to actually get entry to it. And then vendors just start offloading all the information and all the kits and everything they have. And then the operators are not really interested, because I think from an operator perspective, you know exactly what you want anyways from the beginning. So I think that the way you're going about it is probably the nicer way of doing it, because if you can actually facilitate and actually consult with a question that's genuine within the chat, the conversation about your products are going to come up at some point anyways. And that's normally actually it's a better sales approach even for the salespeople, because if you can actually help a client rather than be like, my UPS system is better because I do 1.5% less, I don't know what, I'm not an expert in it, sorry guys out there. But it's like, I think it's a nicer and a more organic way of approaching people and communicating and talking to them about it. So I think you really hit the nail on the coffin with that one there, because it's like, that's what makes the difference here, because we have all these other communities and they're just basically luring in the operators, it's like you can almost see them like it's like a hunting ground, right? So you put all the ducks there, and then you say, okay, operators, first shot goes to the person who pays the most money. And then it became, that's basically how other communities operate. And I think that's the major difference here with the Data Center Club.
Yeah, and it is a lot of my inspiration. Well, always comes from conversations with other people. And obviously I talk to a lot of people about these clubs and about these events and everything. And they all say kind of, we need to shake things up. We need to change it. There needs to be value for the people attending and for the people in the communities. And I just personally don't feel, and I know that other people feel the same, that they're actually getting a lot of value for what they're doing and what they're investing. I don't have any intention of making this a club with any cost whatsoever. I hope the community can kind of look after itself. If we do anything that has a cost, we'll obviously ask the community to contribute, or maybe we'll get sponsors, I don't know. But we don't want it to be a membership club. And I feel that actually you can solve a lot of these challenges yourselves within your networks, but not everybody has a network, and it's trying to create that network where if you actually need something, you can probably find it out a lot quicker. And also, you don't need to necessarily be a member of a club because you've got that network where you can actually obtain what you want already. So it's going to be interesting as it grows, like how big it gets. And obviously, we're not looking to, take over any of these existing clubs or members, but we are, I'm quite open about it. I want to disrupt the sector. It's like, that's what I'm here for. So it might annoy a few people. I'm sure it will along the way. And obviously there's a lot of irony in what I do and how I speak, but I read a post earlier about Netflix and Blockbuster.
Okay.
How, Blockbuster turned down Netflix. Netflix needed money, Blockbuster turned them down because they didn't see the opportunity around online streaming. And I think the founder of Netflix said something along the lines like the moral is that you need to disrupt or you get disrupted. And I think that's the sector in a nutshell.
Well, that's I think sometimes for progress, you just need to disrupt. And I think it's really important. The pandemic was a disruption of society in general, right? A lot of things changed. I mean, me running events, how they run, how they operate, everything has changed. People realize it's not just about the exhibitors there, it's also the content you provide. It needs to be an experience for people. And I think it's the same what you're trying to do. So I'm not going to be able to get one of these cool shirts, like Data Center Club shirt, or like a cap, or like...
Well, there will be merch, but I'm...
Watch out.
I'm still working on the merch. I'm going to order some stickers and plaster them around everywhere so that everyone knows who they are. But I'm going to put them in Monaco next week or the week after when I'm there. But there's two more rules as well, so I'll just quickly cover them.
What's the next one?
I asked the community what they would like the rules to be, if anyone had any ideas. And the next two, so I started with three rules, just simple, solid, how many do we need? Rule four is everyone is equal. I think a few people came back on that in a lot of clubs and communities, there's those administrators that kind of rule it and dictate what happens and what the conversations are. This is a open platform, like you said, it's like open source. It is there. If you've got a question, you can ask it. The only limitations will be along the rules. You're not advertising, basically. Yeah. And then there's no such thing as a stupid question, rule five, because another challenge that people have is that they feel that in a lot of these communities and groups and platforms that they can't actually ask the questions because they feel that somebody will say, well, that's a stupid question. So there is no stupid question. If anyone does say it's a stupid question, I'll kick them out of the club.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's a general rule for life. There's no stupid questions. If you don't know,
100%.
Say I don't know. I mean, we're not experts in this field, are we? So I sometimes probably ask questions. People just go like, come on, how come you don't know this? But how would you know? Because if you don't
know, that's exactly how I feel as well. I totally agree with you. When you're interviewing people when we've talked about this before, when you're interviewing people that are very technical and you're not technical, you have to ask questions because you simply don't understand. So you're asking the question. I like to think you ask the questions that the listeners are thinking, which is probably the same for you. And that's how I see the club. If somebody want some advice that they've just started in the sector, and it's a real basic question, they should feel confident to be able to ask it. If someone wants career advice, they should be confident to ask it. And then you probably get also some people that ask some very technical questions. And hopefully we can kind of have enough people within the club that can answer all the different levels of questions. And that, you know, that would be great. And say it's all, we're already seeing it where people are asking and getting the right responses. So it's going well so far.
So what kind of like positive responses have you got so far from people, or what kind of engagement are they offering to help out, or where do they see it going? And do you have some people who are trying to already benefit out of the club being there?
I've had a lot of messages from people saying, thanks for doing it. You know, really need it. It's a great idea. Great. You know, where do you want to take it? And a lot of people have asked to meet to discuss, you know, what we can do with it. And I think I do 100% see it as being a collective, a community, but it needs to be the right people with the right mindset that can help me take it forward, because I don't want it to become something that I don't want it to become, if that makes sense. So there's a couple of people that I know really well that have already said, you know, I'll help you push it, I'll help you promote it. And as we grow, we can definitely bring more people into it. But I just totally want it to be community run, community led, so that we don't lose that element.
So where do you see the club in 2 years? Or 12 months from now, where would you like it to be? If you go to Monaco in 24,
Is it going to be in Monaco 24? That's the question.
That's the first question. But if 24, wherever the event is going to be, how would you, in what kind of position would you like to see the club?
Well, I'd love to see over the next sort of 6 to 12 months is that it obviously continues to grow, it evolves, but we also start to look at those micro communities. So do we have a young person's data center club? Do we have a, you know, regional data center clubs like USA, you know, APAC, wherever it might be? I'd love it to get to a point where there is that much buy-in that people are using the platform to take it forward. I do want to do, like we've talked about, like physical events, whether that is in partnership with people, or whether that's, you know, it could be just a small meetup. It doesn't have to be an actual event, but I want it to be so that I see it like somebody puts a post on in the group today and says, oh, I'm in London on Wednesday. You know, does anyone want to meet up for a drink? And there's a constant like people getting together. It's bringing people together. It doesn't have to become a major, major organization. Just it becomes a real fluid, self-managed community is where I'd like it to be.
So when you speak about this sub-communities, well, you mentioned young talent. Which other sub-communities would you like to see actually as a founder of the data center club?
I think my view on it is anywhere where people feel there is a need. You know, you see a lot, like I see a lot of, in a lot of these groups, you have women in, but, you know, do women want that? Or is that created because the group feels they need it? You know, we're all the same, you know, I'm a big believer, I've got three girls myself, three children, so women are no different. Do they need a separate group, or do they just need to be more involved and ingrained into the actual collective communities? And it's the same for any demographics when you look at it. The way I see it definitely going from a mini community is young people 100%. It's a big, I know you're passionate about it, it's a big passion of mine. And regional, I think you know, if you can create subgroups off the back of it, you know, whether that is multiple in Europe, multiple in the USA, where again, there was a chat on there yesterday or the other day about two people in America, and they found out they live literally up the road from each other and they're going to meet up for lunch. So if you could create little communities, you know, like London, Amsterdam, Frankfurt, wherever it might be, where people are just constantly in communication and meeting up, I think that would be great if we can get to that point. You know, I'm happy to start these things. You know, I'm not looking at being an overriding lord sat at the top somewhere watching everybody.
Chapter leader.
Exactly. That's it. It becomes a bit, you know, like I do want it to be equal. And I think that's really important as well. You know, I'd love to be going to these places and meeting up with people that are in the club. And I've already put a post up the other day about Monaco saying, you know, who's going to Monaco? Let's meet up. And there's probably about 30 or 40 comments on it now of people meeting. And
oh, it's incredible.
There's a massive need, like desire for this. That's the key. And the desire is for that community to bash down the barriers of the other communities that they're not, that people aren't allowed in for whatever reason.
Communities, yeah, which is, I mean, this is one of the things you see. I mean, if you look at the Monaco event, right? I mean, it's a great event organizer, nothing against Broad Group and everything. But I think the community itself that attends the event makes it a very exclusive. If you don't know somebody, you're not going to get in. So that means if you're, let's say, call it a freshie, somebody green behind the ears entering the industry, you're basically sitting on the road. I mean, yeah, you've got to go to the conference and listen to it. But then the rest of the day, you don't see anybody because people are just behind closed doors.
Yeah, and I also think that from the conversations I've had, and I'm sure you've had the same, that those people that are not within that collective actually are afraid and fearful of going into it. They don't feel the confidence to go into it. And that's what a lot of people say to me. They're like, thanks for saying that, because I wish I'd said that. And again, we've talked about it before, you know, as I sit as a in the middle a little bit, you know, I'm not affiliated to any of these companies. I've got my own company. There's no affiliation to me to any of the operators, suppliers, anything. So I can say things that probably other people can't because they're employed by some of the companies within it. But you've just got to, I think we've just got to make it, if we're going to grow, we know that sector's going to grow. We have to make it more open generally if we're going to grow in a managed way, because otherwise we're going to hit a wall where we can't grow anymore because there's no people and no one wants to join it. No one knows about it. And I think there's simple steps we can take to do that and kind of opening the doors or knocking down the barriers or whatever it is you want to call it is the first step of that, on that journey. And hopefully there's a lot of us doing work within this, yourself included, you know, we can do that as a, we can do that as a collective, but I see it as, we're doing that for those people. That's the way I look at it. I'm not doing it for myself.
Yeah, that's the thing, because some people are not allowed to talk or they can't talk because of restrictions from their media, PR departments, whatever it is. Obviously, they speak to us without the microphones being on. So we do know what's going on in the community. And we've sort of become like, okay, I wouldn't say we can't point fingers either, but we sort of know what's going on. But what I think is, I think where the community can really help out is like with countries who are less developed, really getting into the data center market and industry, and like data centers are being built as like mad and the funding is a problem or whatever it is, and finding the right talent down there or across the globe. And I feel like this is where a community like this could really like become quite handy, because I would love to see how, like you said, technical questions, but I would love to see how problems are being solved within the community on the platform. Like, hey, we're, I don't know, XY location and we're facing this problem. How did you guys solve it in the US? Or how did you solve it in Germany? And then you created something, right?
Exactly. And I'm sure I've introduced loads of people together, like with conversations like that. A lot of it off the back of, whether it's off the pod or my day job, it's, you know, like, oh, Andy, I'm really struggling with this at the moment. And I might have spoken to someone last month who actually said they were solving it, and I'm like, oh, let me introduce you to this person, they've been through that, they can help you. And again, it's in my head, it's just madness that doesn't already happen. And you know, mentors is another point that comes up quite a lot. Oh, people saying, Andy, I'd love a mentor, but I struggle to find one. I think, how can it be so hard to find one? Because everyone on my podcast says I'd love to mentor people, but why it's a challenge is because there's nowhere for them to actually make that public and say I'd love to mentor people, or they're just saying it and they don't actually mean it. But I think most people do mean it. So again, it's like, if I can create that platform where you can ask for a mentor and there's however many thousands of people in it are at that point, and someone reach out and go, yeah, actually I could really help you with that, I'm happy to have a conversation, you're like, brilliant. It just helps everybody, doesn't it?
Well, that's the thing. I think also the problem is the community doesn't really have a place to meet and talk and basically have this interaction, because if you look at events, well, normally the people that will probably mentor come in as VIP delegates. They have quite busy schedules. They do their keynotes, their panels, and then they're in these closed off rooms. While the people that would like to be mentored probably come as attendees to events. They don't really get the chance to basically exchange any kind of words or anything with these people who could be their potential mentors. So I think, that's, you're probably also onto something really great there. it comes back to the young talent. I mean, like we said last time, it's like people are complaining there's not enough people coming in, new talent, and then the doors are just closed. So I think it's really, it's interesting. Probably you should team up with some universities even and give talks about the data center club there and get your local data center chapter leaders. And the, you don't call it a chapter. I don't think so.
I definitely won't be calling it that. But no, I've done a bit of work at the University Technical College, UTC, yeah. Who've got that, obviously, program, with which is a great program for the, you know, school age at the technical colleges. And I'm going up there at the start of July, I think. So, yeah, there's loads we can do around, you know, making it sort of more public, I guess, for the younger generation. But again, what I'd love to do is to get that group of young people and give them the confidence and the capability and open the doors for them to go and talk to those universities. And I don't, again, another thing I talk about quite a lot is, if you want to know how to attract young people, ask young people. Stop asking people that are coming towards the end of their careers and they don't know. And that's no offense to them. I don't, you know, I'm mid-40s and I don't necessarily know a lot about how to attract young people. But if I want to know, I ask some young people, how did you find the sector? How did you find your job? What do you think we should be doing? So if we want people to go to universities to talk, send them. Don't send us, because we're not the right people for that demographic, unfortunately, as much as I'd love to be.
Yeah, no, but also the other thing is, I think it's not just in technology industries, in many industries, a lot of the people which in leadership roles have actually not studied the same background the young people are studying in universities now. So it's like somebody who's, I don't know, head of a data center division in one of the big companies, they haven't necessarily studied engineering. They probably come from a coding background. They have done coding 25 years ago and then just whoop, grew their way into it. And they just know how a data center looks like because they remember walking into entire complexes where a computer was able to run one floppy disk or something, you know? Yeah, to relate to the young people, that's actually, I think, the biggest challenge. And like you said, it needs to be a proper generation transfer. I think that's probably the best way to look at it.
Yeah, totally. And also, when you think about, you know, we joke about chapter and stuff and things like that, but that doesn't appeal to young people. Let's be totally honest about it. You know, a bit of irony around Fight Club does, because you straight away get that kind of, oh, that's quite funny. But also, it's called Data Center Club because that's what it is. Yeah. It's not a secret what it is. It's a data center club. You know, everyone knows what it is. You could argue that I could have spelt it slightly differently to my American audience and your.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But, you know, I did think about putting like a little cross through the RE and then putting ER next to it. But that might come in the future. But, yeah, but, you know, again, the premise behind it was call it what it is.
Yeah. And it's not a cult, so you don't need to cut cables when you enter it and take a picture of a UPS system. And
exactly, but when we get the merch, don't worry, we will be expecting pictures. And but again, like in a humorous way to get it on socials to attract people to it, not for any other reason. You know, I've got some stickers on order, and you know, I do intend on sticking them around and just people. Thinking, what's that? I'll probably have the, you know, French police or gendarme after me once they find out who it is. But you know, we've got to do things a bit differently again to attract the right people and create that community. And it's all about that, isn't it? It's like, what can we do? How can we market it? How can we pitch it to get a real big, broad spectrum of people within it, not just the leaders, not just the products. It's everybody, and it's not an easy thing to do from a marketing perspective. You know, humor is a great way to attract anyone, so we're going down that route.
Is there any particular group you would like to see get more involved at this stage?
No, at this stage it's just everybody jump on, you know, get involved, and then let's really push it, because I think once we get one or two people in kind of the each different region demographics, we can then use them to push and grow it within their region or whatever it might be. That's how I see it working. So now at the moment it's, you know, just join, get involved, introduce yourself. There's a post on there, you know, when you join, tell everyone who you are. And again, let's just try and connect some people, join the dots a little bit, and then look again in probably say 2 to 3 months, and then let's see where we are then, and then maybe we can then start to look at splitting it off a little bit and targeting certain people.
Yeah, so we definitely will catch up in a couple of months again on a podcast and see where you got to and how it's going. So yeah, at this point, I wish you good luck in Monaco. Enjoy putting your stickers up, not getting arrested.
Wish me luck. I'll put them on my suitcase.
You should put one on an airplane already, flying out.
Don't worry, I've got a few ideas. Just what it's, as I said to somebody the other day, it's I have my ideas and then I have what I can get away with. They're normally two different things. So
it's like finding Wally. Find a data center club sticker.
Exactly. Yeah. Take a picture when you find one. And if anyone wants to join, obviously, it's Data Center Club on LinkedIn. It's a group. You know, just search Data Center Club or look at my profile. There's loads of posts on it, and just you know.
I'm gonna put the link as well in the Spotify and wherever you guys are listening from. I don't know. I mean, there's so many different platforms, but the link will be there. Put the link as well on the LinkedIn post. But yeah, you guys try to join the movement, and as you know that Andy and myself are very passionate about making lots of noise. We're not always we're friendly guys, but we just say how it is. It's a very black and white and blunt approach.
Again, like I said earlier, I like to think that, you know, yourself included, that there's certain people in the sector that say what other people want to say. And sometimes some people don't appreciate it, I guess, but the majority do. So that's the way I look at it. We're doing the right thing. We're not deliberately annoying anybody, but we're asking questions that need to be asked.
We poked the bear. Let's put it like that.
We'll leave it there.
Yeah, we leave it there. All right. Thank you, Andy. It was an absolute pleasure having you on, and good luck with the Data Center Club. And for everyone, links will be in the bio and everything. So join, and then, all best of luck, Andy, and don't get in a fight.
Try not to. And thanks for the support.
No worries. Cheers.